from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Real quick, Tony, I'm on your side. Shelton should have said something to him right away. Pulled him even down the ramp and said something to him. I didn't like that. And the other thing I was looking for is maybe Reynolds pulling him aside and saying, "Hey, listen, if I call it, I'm a captain, and I'm the head of the outfield. I run this outfield. This is mine. If I call it, you got to get out of the way. That's my call." And then step back. But if you sit him, you're going to hurt his psyche. You're going to hurt him. I'm telling you, you're going to hurt him worse than you than leaving him in there, because or taking him out, because it's going to hurt. I think he's still young yet.
He's going to bruise his ego, is what you're saying. He's going to take it personally. He's going to get pissed young. Off.
Yeah, exactly. He's still young, man. This kid has only played one full year.
I think there's a sensitivity there, and I don't mean that in like this ultra bad way. I just think there are some athletes that if they make a bad play, it's immediately water off a duck's back. Who cares? And they just go right to the next play. I think he is wearing these mentally. I think he's wearing the bad at-bats mentally, the strikeouts. I think he's wearing the errors. I was actually surprised he made some of the better plays he did later in that game, especially the one on Altuve, because I thought it was going to stick with him. And what you don't want to have happen is what happened to Pedro. And I almost don't even want to bring it up. But it very obviously got in that guy's head.
Big time.
And ruined his career functionally.
Reynolds is just not Vance-like. He's not one of these guys that is going to stand up to his teammates that way. He's a lead by example guy. He is a very, very, very quiet player. So my opinion, again, without having to get into a fight with a guy or scream and yell at him, I do think other than what they showed, which was like an acknowledgement by Cruz as they came off the field, where he looked like he said, "Hey, my bad." I do think that there probably needs to be more of a conversation there. But I also could look at it like this if I'm Reynolds.
They could send Joe Block to do it, because he was sounded ready to give him a talking to.
I also think if I'm Reynolds, like, we have coaches for this. This should not be my job. We've got outfield instructors. We've got infield instructors. We've got defensive specialists. Like, they should be the ones that are saying, "Dude, stop going out there that far on these plays." Here's Block.
Stand.
And swinging a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing? And Alvarez stands at third. That should have ended the inning. Instead, another run is in on another Cruz error, and a man's at third base.
I love freak out Joe Block, whether it's good or bad.
What is he doing?
Yep.
He's right, though.
I know.
The call mirrored. I said it with a profanity in there in my own house.
Here is Kevin in the Rocks with us. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Good day. You know, one of the things that's not really been touched on too much has been the potential for injuries.
Sure.
Especially with coming in. I mean, we can't afford to lose.
Cruz and Reynolds collide there, and they're both hurt. You can pretty much kiss the playoffs goodbye.
And Reynolds is no diminutive human being. He's a gigantic man. He looks like he could play in the NFL, Kevin. He's going to do damage.
Yeah, you can't afford to lose him on the field. You can't afford to lose him on the bat. I mean,
if those two collided and both got hurt, you'd be losing 35 home runs and two of your three best bats at that point.
Yeah, you'd be screwed.
It'd be the Rowdy Tellez show. It'd be Rowdy's time to shine.
Here is Clinton on the fan. Hello, Clinton.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, listen, I just saw that play today. I said, my goodness gracious. But you know what? That's not the first time he's did that. You remember a couple of weeks ago where the ball was hit into right field and he ran all the way from shortstop near the first base to get a relay throw and he throws it home?
Yes. I actually like when he does that.
That's different. Yeah, I think that takes advantage of his, like, ridiculously good arm.
Yeah, he has a good arm. But you know what, guys? I tell you what. Here's what we're doing. We're taking this one game. I understand it was a bad mistake. My prediction is this weekend he's going to have the best three games of his life.
How many home runs?
They're going to be all right.
Go on record. Let's hear it, Clinton. How many homers?
How many homers?
Yep.
I tell you what. I'll probably give him about maybe three homers this series.
Okay. Thank you, Clinton.
He hits three homers this series. Unless he makes 10 errors, all is going to be forgiven.
Pete is in West Deer. Now he's on the fan. Hello, Pete.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hey,
doing
man.
A great job.
Thank you.
I was very disappointed that by midnight last night, Cruz was not gone. That was the
gone
most
where?
Gone off the team. It wouldn't matter how much money. You guys were overstating.
For one mistake, you're getting rid of one of your best players?
It's a whole season. It's a season. He costs you more runs always than he hits.
Well, by definition, he doesn't, because the stat WAR measures wins above replacement, and he's worth almost two of them this
over
year.
Over 160 due games, he averages 30 homers and 96 RBIs, Pete. That doesn't grow on trees.
I know that. I'm not disagreeing on that.
I'm not sure if you do know that, because
you
you're
want
saying
him off
cut
the team
him and get nothing in return for him.
I think that he's worth nothing at this point.
So just to be very clear, Pete, if they were to have cut him getting nothing in return last night, you feel like they would be a better baseball team for it. That's what you're saying.
He's more of an anchor than a rudder today. He's dragging the team.
So he's still on the team, so they're not getting rid of him. So I'm guessing, though, if you were filling out a lineup card for Friday and for the rest of the year, you would put Alika Williams at shortstop over O'Neill Cruz?
I wouldn't. I'd give him McCutchen a break and let Cruz bat.
But you wanted him
okay,
off the team.
You. Yes. What? 2 seconds ago, he said, get rid of him. Don't even DH him. Oh, boy. Real call or busting our balls?
No, that was real.
Donnie, real or ball
They're not fake out there in West Deer.
No, I'd say that's legit.
They're not fake.
The man wanted him gone.
I didn't get any of that on Twitter last night. Did you? Get him
I
off
mean,
the team? Get him out.
It was from the people who have the gray no-face icon and maybe like the 18 numbers in their profile name.
Donnie said he put out there, get him out of this game, and he actually met resistance on that take.
From who? Platinum Key Brian? Cody Duncan?
No, neither of them. It was a guy that just said, chance for the worst take of all time for something or something like that, and I just said, must not be watching the game.
Mm.
What if you
and
had
got like zero?
You pulled
backing.
The.
What if you had responded?
You played the John Staggerwald card. Just watch the game.
Well, no. I mean, he clearly wasn't. I mean, I don't know how you watch a play like that and think like, oh, that's totally normal. That's something that should happen.
You
every
could
day.
Have really just set today's show on its ear if he had said in the running for worst take ever, and you just responded, "Have you ever seen the Pony Express's tweets?"
Oh my God!
I just tagged Pony.
Johnny's in Cranberry. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
great show as always.
Thank
Yesterday's
you.
Show, I'm a serious guy, but I tune in for this show. Yesterday's
you.
Show is phenomenal.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, excellent. Yep. I'll try to make this quick. I you know, you guys were going into the makeup a little bit. I've always said, you know, I played college baseball. I've never played with a shortstop that tall, and I was willing to give him a chance. And you always, it's like Lamar Jackson and the Wonderlic. You know, I don't think O'Neill Cruz has a high baseball IQ, and I'm not being a jerk. I don't think he has a really high IQ in general, but we are willing to overlook a lot of these things because of his athleticism. Well,
we've given it a chance, but it's almost the things that he's doing, he's a product of his athleticism, like trying to stretch things into the outfield. You don't need 0-60 speed at shortstop. You need lateral 0-10 speed. So if we suffered through Gregory Polanco in right field for all those years with a Matt Damon arm, put that arm in right field and give him that stretch and that reach. But I also agree with Chris, you know, you don't want anything to be punitive, right? I think it's a confidence game. When he makes these errors, he's struggling at the plate, he's struggling in the field. I think he's in his own head. So I just think you put him in the outfield where he can be an absolute gem and make up for some of the ground with Reynolds.
Can you do that now? I mean, it's not, would you expedite that and actually do it this season, Johnny, or would you put it off to the offseason?
I would. Pony, I mean, goes back to your point. I mean, I call it big boy football. This is the big leagues. If we have good coaches and you have a guy this athletic, you cannot tell me that working on him pregame and in practice that within a few weeks,
hold on.
We can't give him a shot in right field.
Hold on. First off, I am making no statement about O'Neill Cruz's IQ in general because, one, I don't care, and, two, I've never talked to the guy. I have no idea. But if your assertion is that his baseball IQ, in your opinion, is not as high as it needs to be, why would you think that a guy whose baseball IQ is subpar would be able to pick up and learn a new position effectively enough to play it at the major league level that
quickly? While he's also playing shortstop. That is putting a lot on a guy's plate. I mean, there's no doubt that the guy has, like, moments more so than I think most of the other Pirates where it's like, what was he thinking there?
Yeah, but then
where
again,
was his head?
But then again, Ke'Bryan Hayes gets lauded as one of the best defensive third basemen ever. And in terms of baseball IQ, I saw him tagging up with two outs on a home run.
Correct.
So
yeah, good point.
So
here's Zach in New Kent. Hello, Zach.
Hey, big fan.
Thanks, man.
So hey, kind of similar to the last caller, I'm just gonna look at this at a macro organizational level. They did the same stuff with Starling Marte, this athletic freak. He has all the tools, but he's just not baseball there yet, and I don't know what the disconnect is and why they can't seem to connect for. But
I mean,
I don't think
that's fair to Marte. He won back-to-back gold gloves in 15 and 16, and if anything, they jobbed him a little bit by playing him out of position out of deference to McCutchen. Marte should have been their center fielder the day he got onto the big club.
You still can tell me that you've watched him do airheaded plays and you thought to yourself, what are you doing?
Once in a while, he would make a space cadet play, but when you get voted as a gold glove winner, that means that the good, like, voluminously outweighs the bad.
I actually felt like Marte's airheaded stuff was more like as a base runner and things like that and less to do with his fielding. Here's Rob next. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Fuzz. How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I got one thing to say real quick, man. If I ever call in how that last caller was talking about cutting, just block me. Please, just block me, and I won't be able to ever get through again, man. I mean,
should we have drug tested Pete and West Deer? Rob, is that what you're telling
us? Please. Yeah, send a drug kit to his house.
But Rob, like 10 seconds after practically, he said, I wish they would have cut him. He said, you know what? You've just got to DH him the rest of the year. So I don't know how convicted about his position he was.
Yeah, he opened the bar up there and there, man. He's been there since 9:30, man. It's turnkey, yeah. But, I mean, it's 162, man. We know that his IQ's not that high. And y'all remember the game before, it was the last inning, and he double-clutched and threw the ball to first and dude was safe. That could have snowballed.
Correct.
Every play doesn't have to be a splash play with Cruz, and somebody besides Brian Reynolds needs to tell him that. Just make the play and play your position. That's it, man.
Well, we're going to have somebody. Man. Rob, I'm going to put you on hold and reward you for calling and give you the tickets to the concert at PNC Park in September. Jordy Mercer made most of the routine plays. That's what he was known for. So I'm very interested to hear what he has to say about this when he joins us at 4:15. Get Pop's take next. Texas on the Edgar Slattern Associates fan text line. It's the PM team. Here's Don.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Maybe that's how you felt last night watching those O'Keel Cruz plays. Listen to Bob.
I'm all shook up.
A fuzzy tree?
Maybe those plays by Cruz damage your heart. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Bob, I know you've had your fair share of heart problems that thankfully you've had remedied and fixed. You go into palpitations last night watching Cruz almost collide with Reynolds and cost the Pirates the game?
That was a tough one. Yeah, Tony. How are you, Mosey? It was one of those plays that you knew was the end of the inning. You got Alvarez. He hit it and he knew he was out. And somehow he got the third on the second part of that error. So, I mean, those are plays that you just can't give away, especially, you know, when you have nothing against Jake Woodruff on the mound.
Woodford. Jake Woodford. You got to get it right.
Reserve. I know. Whatever.
You ever have some Woodford Reserve, Bob? A little orange zest in there?
I like the orange zest, yes. But anyway, the point is, bitters. Those are the games you had a 4-0 lead. You can't afford plays like that because, you know, Valdez is going to settle down, and he did. But they got to him early, 4-run lead. Boy, you have a sweep waiting to happen, and it slipped away. So, I mean, that happens because, though, it's in the pennant race the way it is and the wild card chase, it becomes overly magnified, and this has been.
Would you have pulled Cruz out of the game last night after that botched series
no.
of plays? No?
No. I think he's a young kid still going through. He's still too important to me. I can't give up on him. I can't send messages. You know, I talked to him, and I think Tellez did last night, but, I'm sure Derek Shelton had his moments. You know, patience is a big part of 162 games, and I think you've seen that with Rowdy Tellez, with back when Mitch Keller was first up and what the expectations were, and it took time. So, you know, he's pretty good judge of those kinds of guys. I think just chatting with him, maybe give him a day off once in a while here, I don't know what they do, but I wouldn't have yanked him.
Bob, would you consider or would you advocate for moving O'Neill Cruz to a new position this offseason and having him play somewhere other than shortstop starting in 2025?
Funny, Chris, man. Somebody called last night and mentioned that, but first base. I don't know if I do that. I still, you know, he still made some good throws. He's got a big arm. I know he's made a lot of errors. I still think this is sort of the, you know, the developmental stage of him as a major league player, and sometimes it takes a little longer. But he may be too big for that position. I mean, I thought that immediately when I first saw him play short at 6'7". You don't necessarily see 6'7" people play shortstop.
And in fact, you never have. He's the first one to ever do it, Bob.
Right. So, I mean, that kind of stuff is unusual, and maybe he's just, you know, figuring out what he has to do. But so far, the defense has been a big problem. The offense is coming around, and I like that bat. So, no, I can't get rid of him or take him or move him. In the offseason, maybe I would experiment. Sure. Why not? That's what the offseason's for.
Bob, how do you ultimately then feel about this series in Houston with the way they served up yesterday's game on a silver platter but still found a way to win 2 of 3?
Well, because they won 2 of 3, I think it was a good series. 3 and 3 on the road trip. I was hoping for 4 and 2 for them because they were in a position to do it. But still, if you had told me at the beginning of that, especially the way it started with 2 losses to Arizona, they won that game on Sunday. I still don't know how, and they won on Monday. So all things considered, 3 and 3 is pretty acceptable.
Bob, where would you play Isaiah Kiner Falefa when he actually gets
healthy? Falefa? Was it DeMalzi?
That's Falefa. Pretty close. Where would you play him? Where do you think they get the most value? I know it's going to be second base, I guess, because Gonzalez is out. But would you consider dropping him into center field and not maybe assuming that Michael Taylor is going to continue to rediscover his hitting stroke? How would you use him, especially when Gonzalez is healthy?
Well, yeah, I don't know when that's going to be. But until then, he's my second baseman, I think. As far as Taylor, his bat's starting to come around. He made a nice catch last night, which I thought was one he wasn't going to get. So I think I wouldn't mess with him right now. But I think in time, sure, I would consider all options with that.
Bob, anything else for us?
Steelers? Golf?
What,
hey, Bob,
I got something for you.
I actually have something for you. You need to clear your calendar on September 3rd and come play in the Net Championship with me. You've got a handicap index. You can play in this thing. Play a little day of hooky at work on a Tuesday.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love that with football season ready to go here.
Is that a subtle comment about what you think of me doing this party?
No, I'm just saying, Bob here.
Pause. Thoughts,
he's
play
got
hooky.
Games to call.
Me, Kale Berger, you, it'll be unbelievable.
He's got rib fests to talk about.
Yeah, we got rid of the best, and too bad Edmund's not around for those anymore.
I said the same thing to Donnie before the show.
He shined
in those spots.
That was his time to shine, and he knew it, Bob.
His antennas went up. He was so excited about digging deep in those ribs, one after another after another.
Sometimes
we went through a preseason game, and you wouldn't hear from him for about 7 minutes. That's because he was eating everything inside.
And you're talking about, and meanwhile, you're doing play-by-play about guys from Shippensburg who are getting carries, and Edmund's chowing down.
That's one of my favorite things about you on these preseason games. You get into it, even for the down-the-liners.
You have to, right? Future bartenders of America, but right now they have a chance. And so that's what you do. I'm serious. You know, it's tough to get to this level, and just getting an invitation to be at a camp like this, you got to be a pretty special athlete.
Well, look at Beanie Bishop. He's a guy that's taking the ball and running with it, Bob.
That dude's making plays. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing a lot, you know, as a rookie.
If he starts as a rookie, he'll be the first undrafted rookie free agent starter that I think any of us can remember, Bob.
Starting week one.
Well, Mike Hilton, but he was with New England first. Yep. He was undrafted too, right?
And yeah, but I'm saying as a rookie starting week one after not getting drafted, that never happens, Bob.
Oh, that's probably true. I mean, even the ones who have taken time, whether that's Donnie Shell, Willie Parker, or Jalen Warren, they all start right off the back. So, yeah, that would be pretty – but it also undermines the problems they may have there, that they don't have anyone at this point doing it with camp setting up.
Bob, prediction on the Pirates this weekend against Arizona. How many games do they win?
I say they're going to win 2 out of 3. Arizona's been hot. They won. They scored a lot of runs the other night when they won, I think, 17-0. And I just think that Skeens is going to win his game because they've lost 2 in a row with him on the mound, which is highly unusual for him given the way he's pitched. So I think they'll take 2 or 3.
And who will be the star of the series?
The star of the series for the Pirates. Aside from Skeens, who will pitch well, let me go and surprise you with Joey Bart.
Wow. All right, Bart. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Well, he's going to do he'll do that in only 2 games. He won't catch Skeens.
That's true. That'll be a grunt. Well, maybe they'll DH him, Malzi.
If he's crushing the ball, yeah.
I tell you what, his short swing is pretty amazing. I've never seen a swing like that. It's like a John Rahm of baseball.
Number 2 overall pick, so that we know the talent's there.
See you, Bob.
Yep. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Total Request Thursday comes your way at 5:30. We give you 4 topics. You pick the one you want us to talk about. Benedict Crowley is an option. Fields versus Wilson. O'Neill Cruz brain farts.
That was pretty good, actually.
And then football's back in all caps because Malzi loves when the Hall of Fame game returns.
Oh, yeah.
Then we get football.
Yeah, I love it when the football intelligentsia of Twitter tells you, oh, it's been so long without football, revealing themselves as some of the least interesting people on the planet.
Donnie, put your hand
Thanks,
in the
Malzi.
I'm sorry, Donnie. I can't mask how I feel.
Well, don't worry, because I'll have to watch it on silence tonight. We got Ernie Banks yet again. But I will have that game on.
I can't, Donnie.
At about 8 o'clock, you'll be thinking in your head, football's back, baby.
Donnie, I refuse to apologize. I can't apologize about something I feel that strongly about.
We will go from now until 2025, and there will be a football game on every single Thursday.
Yeah, see, I can't do that, Donnie.
I'm with Donnie on this.
I know you are, but I'll be on my little island right here. I don't care.
After the abysmal fielding of Cruz, it inspired us for our PM Team Power Rankings. Malzi's going to rank the top five Pirates defensive players of all time. The best with the glove in Pirates history. Will our boy Dick Shot make the list?
How about Jack Glasscock?
True.
He could be in there.
Stay tuned for that. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Right now, headline.
Stay it.
Swinging a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing? And Alvarez stands at third. That should have ended the inning. Instead, another run is in on another Cruz error, and a man's at third base.
Joe Block, he's one of us. Could not believe what he just saw on that O'Neill Cruz play. One of three errors he made in the game. One of five he made in the series. So that's the bad. Let's get into the good here. PM Team Power Rankings comes your way every Thursday at 3:30. Today, Mulsey is ranking the anti-Cruz. The best defensive players in Pirates history, 1 through 5. Starting with Cinco.
This was an interesting list to try to make because you're sort of like looking up, did this guy's reputation, did it match, like in terms of honors that somebody got, right? Did it match my perception of the player? And it didn't always match up. I am going to, though, at number 5, almost unbelievably maybe to you, include a guy who won a couple of gold gloves but drove some people nuts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually putting Marte 5th. Rocket arm, should have been playing center field. Very good defender, back-to-back gold gloves, probably could have won a couple of more, but was technically playing out of position for more or less the entirety of his career with the Pirates. He should have been a center fielder, but because they wanted Andrew McCutchen...
Man, I already hate this list.
I know.
So why are you doing it then?
Because I do think he warrants inclusion from my modern era. So Marte is number 5.
What do you mean your modern era?
My personal era.
So you've eliminated...
Not everybody on this list is somebody that I saw play.
Oh, okay. So you are including some old-timers.
Potentially many old-timers, Tony.
Okay, who's 4?
Number 4 is a more of a sentimental choice. I know people have talked about him as being possibly very overrated as a fielder, but I liked watching him. I liked all the dumb sliding around there and glove flips. I'm going to take Jack Wilson.
Donnie, any...
No gold gloves.
Not overrated at all. He doesn't have a single gold glove. Maybe one of the best fielders to never have a gold glove. Derek Jeter has what, 5?
No, he is more
than
that.
What's your take on that?
Jack Wilson is 10 times the fielder that Derek Jeter was.
That's true. I bet Ron Cook disagrees with you, though.
If you were starting a franchise, would you take Wilson over Jeets?
Well, Jeter, a far better hitter. I've never questioned the guy's hitting.
Hey, Wilson's got himself a silver slugger.
Yeah, that was actually his worst defensive season, I think, according to him.
So focused on hitting. Andy Van Slyke.
Great guy.
Went to your high school.
Yep.
Second most famous person from New Hartford High School, or whatever the hell it was called.
Me or him?
He is. You are the most famous.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Obviously. Nothing to say about that? I think he was a 5-time gold glove winner
with
the Pirates.
No, I like it. You get no... The quarreling from me, non-existent on that.
Also, you want to talk about one of those apocryphal things that, like, some guy on the north side will always say to you if you bring up 92, and you know... Van Slyke told him to move over, and he wouldn't do it. He flipped him the bird.
So that didn't happen, or it did?
No, it is an apocryphal. I think, like, there was the... Van Slyke, like, tried to motion to him,
yes,
hey, move over.
That part
bit.
I know about, but is the bird part true?
I don't
true?
Know if he flipped him the bird, but people... That story grows new legs every time somebody in Pittsburgh tells it. 2 and 1 were what I really cared about here, because I wanted to get it right, and I think there's 2 obvious choices for the 2 best defensive players in franchise history. Mm-hmm. 2 for me is going to be Bill Mazeroski. Maybe the best turner of the double play who's ever
in the
lived.
Hall of Fame because of a homer and those double plays that he started.
He was an unbelievable glove man, 8-time Gold Glove winner.
He was a vacuum cleaner over
there. He was outrageous. If you could have him, he would have probably figured out a way to have O'Neal Cruz slick fielding at shortstop. And number one is just such an easy one. It doesn't even need to be said, but I will. Roberto Clemente. Mm-hmm. The best arm probably ever in right field. Great fielding instincts. Did it with flair.
Oh, the amount of flair there.
Pieces of flair, like in Office Space.
Ric Flair.
Nature boy, Ric Flair. That's right. But Clemente was an easy pick here. Am I really going to go like guys that I barely have heard of in the, 1920s? That's hard for me.
No, I didn't expect you to. I think you should have put Dave Parker on there over Marte.
Okay. I mean,
what
I could have
Flying Dutchman.
I could have put Ke'Bryan Hayes on there over Jack Wilson because Ke'Bryan Hayes has what?
He's got a
platinum glove. But you know what? Frankly, I'm so pissed at Ke'Bryan Hayes this year. His ass wasn't making this list no matter what. He could have had 4 platinum gloves and I'd have been bitching and moaning.
All right, so Malzi's top 5 Pirates defensive players
Starling
of all time.
Starling Marte, who I think is underrated because he drove people nuts here at times, but he was very good in the field and had a ridiculous throwing arm. Marte, number 5. Jack Wilson, kind of a soft spot there, number 4. Andy Van Slyke, number 3. Mazeroski, number 2. Roberto Clemente, number 1.
There you go, Malzi's PM team power rankings.
So you'd have put Parker in there. Any other changes to my list? I feel like 3-2-1, you probably agree with me. Definitely 2-1 in some order, I think you would have had Maz and Clemente, yes?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Vance Slyke's got to be on the list, too.
All right, so I think maybe you quibble with Parker, and I could understand why, to each their own.
Yeah, I would not have put Marte, and I'm fine with Wilson. I would have had Wilson 5,
Parker 4,
Parker 4, Vance Slyke 3,
Vance Slyke
2,
was
Clemente
real.
1.
Vance Slyke, you know who I thought about putting on for 1 second, but I said I can't because his career is defined by a ball he booted. Chico Lean.
Yeah, I can't do it.
That was his only Gold Glove season, too. But I remember him growing up.
How many errors did he make that year?
Chico? I didn't even look. None, I thought. Or maybe 1. But I remember him growing up as being by far the best fielder I could ever think of. Like, that guy, he's awesome. He catches everything, and then he boots it when it matters the most.
Here is John on what we watched last night with O'Neal Cruz. Hello, John.
John? Hey, Tony.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I'm right here, Tony.
Hi, John.
My man.
What up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to make it quick. There's only 3 things in my whole life that I'm good at. Number one is...
Making love.
No, that would go into the third subject, and I was only going to bring you two. One of them is I can recognize when a player has no baseball IQ.
Okay.
Number one.
What's number two?
Number two, because I grew up around it, and I mean grew up around it, I can tell occasionally when Cruz is high.
On drugs?
On weed.
On weed, John.
Yes, sir.
So there are only 3 things you're good at. One of them is being able to tell if a specific player
has a good baseball IQ.
Has smoked marijuana before a game?
Yeah, that's number 2.
Only him, though. You can't tell any other person
is high.
Are
you able to tell if, I don't know, Rowdy Tellez decided to get baked before a game? Or is it only
Cruz? Don't look at his eyes. I don't look at his eyes. The only one that I've studied is Cruz.
You've made it a lifetime job to study his eyes.
Is this only at home, or do you have to be at the game to be able to tell if he's stoned?
No, you can see it. You can see it on TV, Matt. I mean, he has like let me articulate this by saying it's
well,
not.
Well, hold on, I
want to
hear number 3. And what's 3? So there's
no,
IQ.
He said it was screwing. If he extended the list to 3, it would be making sweet love.
Well, okay, it's getting off subject, which may
the subject that you started with is such an endearing one and a good one here that you can tell when O'Neal Cruz is high and that he doesn't have
John,
a good baseball
how are
IQ.
You so
Thank
good at
you.
Being able to tell if he's high? You just you've always had an innate skill for being able
he
to tell
he grew
when
up
someone's
around
high.
He was up around people who were waking and baking.
I was, man. And the only thing...
Well, hold on here, John. I got a problem with your point here. Pony's mother
I think you two would be a match made in heaven, John.
But Pony has never said to me once, I think O'Neal Cruz is high, and I think Pony knows somebody who's high when he sees one.
Oh, I do. I absolutely. My high radar.
His weed radar has never gone off with Cruz.
Correct. You're right. It has not.
I know one of a skill he doesn't have.
Imagine.
Making good phone calls.
So
what the hell was that?
He applies for a job. So what are some of the things you're good at? Okay, get a load of this. The Pirates have a shortstop. When I watch their games, I can tell right away if he's high or not.
Okay, very good. I'm writing that down.
Also, I can tell when he has a good baseball IQ. So it's like when you do the actual resume, it says like skills. He writes like Microsoft Word proficient, Microsoft Excel proficient. And I can tell you when O'Neal Cruz is high as a kite out there.
What if he said, and you know what, guys? I looked at him last night. Not high. He needs to get high.
He plays his best baseball, blazed to the bejesus belt.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 take care of that. Jordy Mercer going to weigh in on this big topic. O'Neal Cruz, what the hell happened last night? If you want to get in queue and follow up the last call, you can. 412-928-9370. Do we have human beings out there who have... I don't know, maybe sharper analysis than I can tell if the guy's high or not. 412-928-9370. Here until 6, Ray Fittipaldo will update us on day 7 of Steelers training camp. But right now, quick timeout and back for a long commercial-free segment next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.